Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. A fundamental principle of morality is to treat other persons with respect, to not use them merely as means, which occurs in obvious cases of immorality, such as robbery, burglary, kidnapping, rape. Persons using other persons merely to benefit themselves and not respecting their rights and dignity. It's similar among nations. In order to maintain cordial international relations in a peaceful community, it's indispensable that nations respect the rights of other nations. And once again, as long as those nations are not harming other nations, they should be given the freedom to conduct their sovereign affairs as they deem best. The United States, however, has been a massive transgressor. We have intervened in countries again and again and again. I mean, if you were to add them all up, probably thousands of times we have violated this fundamental principle of mutual respect. Well, we're currently in the throes of a war, officially between Ukraine and Russia, but unofficially between the U.S., NATO, Ukraine, and Russia, where we're sending massive quantities of equipment to Ukraine, as are other NATO nations. In fact, so much that U.S. stocks have basically been depleted for all kinds of basic armaments, munitions in particular, artillery rounds, military 50 caliber and other rounds, all kinds of rockets, anti-tank weapons. We have sent them hand over fist to Ukraine. And it's been done in such an irresponsible fashion that our own munitions backstock, our own munition supply is basically depleted. There was a brilliant article by Mike Adams who was talking about how if the United States were to become engaged in a conventional war with Russia, that it's over before it begins, because the Russians have massive stockpiles. The Russians have munitions manufacturers. The Russians have higher quality equipment than America across the board. Somehow the ideologues in Washington, D.C., who push the buttons and pull the levers, are so detached from reality that they have no appreciation of the superiority of Russian military equipment, of the inferiority of American and NATO military equipment, of the fact that the Russians have anti-ship missiles that are unstoppable, underwater torpedoes that are unstoppable, intercontinental missiles that are unstoppable, the most famous of which is a Satan II, which has 15 independently targeted warheads. So one Satan II would be sufficient to take out France. One missile. And as Mike Adams observes, America doesn't have any munition suppliers. We don't have the facilities in place to produce the munitions that would be indispensable. I mean, Ukraine has been consuming staggering quantities of munitions. Staggering. And by Mike Adams' estimate, and I think he's got it right, it would take perhaps a year to 2 years for the United States to begin to produce, to roll off the assembly line, the munitions that would be necessary to conduct a conventional war against Russia. What that means is if we were drawn into a conventional war against Russia, we've lost before the war begins. And it's similar for the other nations, other members of NATO that have been sending all these vast supplies. Now, Americans have very short memories and a stunning incapacity to see the world as others see it. It is almost impossible for Americans to look at the developments in Europe post-World War II with any degree of objectivity from the Russian point of view. Remember, I mean, NATO was founded as a cooperative mutual defense pact against Soviet aggression. The Soviet Union during World War II had occupied a whole lot of Eastern Europe nations, and the West Europe was apprehensive it might continue to expand. Even George Patton, who performed so brilliantly against Germany, said he thought we'd been fighting the wrong enemy. The point being that with the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, there was the opportunity for a new era of peace. Mikhail Gorbachev negotiated with Ronald Reagan, and I personally know Reagan's ambassador in negotiating these matters, Lee Wanta, with assurances from the West, including our Secretary of State, that the NATO nations would not encroach one inch to the east, that there'd be no attempt to politicize or weaponize the newly freed Eastern Bloc nations. None. We wouldn't do it. And Gorbachev went ahead, and the Soviet Union was dissolved on the basis of those promises and assurances and guarantees. Well, at the time, NATO had 13 member states. Today it has, what, 30? Where do you think those extra 17 members of NATO came from? All those newly sovereign states at the West declared that United States Ronald Reagan solemnly assured Mikhail Gorbachev would not be politicized, would not be incorporated into NATO. So if you just look at a map of the progression of NATO, this is, from a Russian point of view, Western aggression. Western aggression. Militarizing one nation after another after the West had solemnly agreed they would not do that. Can you imagine how America could be trustful of a nation that made such promises to America and then violated them so egregiously? Look at this from the point of view of Russia. Unending, unceasing aggression. Putting missile batteries all along the border of Russia. I mean, thousands of miles of Russian border have Western missile batteries that were ostensibly to defend against a fictional threat from Iran. Well, Iran isn't threatening Western Europe. Why would Iran give a damn? It was all a pretext. In other words, the West just lies and lies and lies and lies and lies and lies. How can anyone, how could any self-respecting nation take anything asserted by the West to be true? Vladimir Putin, bless his heart, has done his best repeatedly through his foreign minister and other spokesmen to explain to the West that Russia could not tolerate Ukraine becoming a member of NATO. I mean, that's another huge long border then that would be loaded with anti-Russian missile systems, some of which are basically militarily just a hop, skip, and a jump from Moscow. No self-respecting nation could allow that. It's as though we allowed the communist Chinese missile batteries along our southern border with Mexico. Would the United States stand for that? Suppose Mexico became a part of China or of a military alliance with China. Would we tolerate that? Don't forget the Monroe Doctrine, which asserts that any foreign intervention in the Western Hemisphere would be regarded as an act of aggression against the United States. Think of the applicability of a similar doctrine to Europe. And you can see immediately this is massive aggression by NATO, by the West. Russia's been harmless. Russia has acted in accordance with all of those agreements while seeing them violated by the West again and again and again and again and again. Well, Ukraine's been especially treacherous territory. Ukraine was historically, for hundreds of years, a part of Russia. Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, suggested that if Ukraine could be pried away from Russia, because Ukraine is very much a breadbasket, it's a very agriculturally fertile area, if it could be pried away from Russia, it would greatly weaken the bear. And the neocons and other influential members of the foreign policy establishment here in the United States and NATO nations have sought to bring that about. This would be like prying California away, the agriculturally productive regions of California away from the rest of the United States. California historically has been a great source for agricultural products for the entirety of the United States. Well, if you took California out of the equation, it would greatly weaken the United States. Taking Ukraine out of Russia or from its close symbiotic relationship would greatly weaken the bear. I mean, Brzezinski was right about that. The question is, even if it's true, would it be a good idea to do that? Now, Russia became increasingly alarmed because there's a region of Ukraine known as the Donbass that's heavily ethnically Russian. No surprise there. Russian speakers, Russia loyalists, Russia supporters. In 2014, a coup was exercised in Ukraine. It was spearheaded by Victoria Nuland, who's married to a Robert Kagan, who's among the most virulent pro-Zionist, pro-Israel, anti-Russian figures who've been actively involved in American policy shaping in the last 20 years. And Nuland engineered a scheme with $5 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars, that's our money, your money, my money, to bring about a coup in Ukraine. They bought up a bunch of Russian weapons, and they gave them to mercenaries to fire on Ukrainians who were protesting. And the CIA engineers, lots of protests, staged events, which, of course, have now been brought to the United States, thanks to Barack Obama, of whom I shall say more, to engineer a coup and take out the democratically elected president of Ukraine, who was Russia-friendly, and replace him with a Western stooge, a puppet. Vladimir Zelensky is a successor to that puppet. He's the latest. He's the newest. He's the refurbished puppet. The guy's like a vaudevillian. He's basically a comic turned actor president of Ukraine and a stooge of the West. Well, after the coup in 2014, Ukraine began assaulting the Donbass, firing artillery into the Donbass, killing, I don't know, overall, right up to 24 February of last year, 2,400 Russian speakers, members of the Donbass. As a consequence of all this, two major regions, Luhansk and the Donetsk, following the successful referenda in the Crimea, which, in accordance with international law, members of Crimea voted to become part of Russia once again. This was an internationally supervised referendum. Something like 90 to 95% of Crimeans wanted to reconcile with Russia and become a part of Russia again. That set an example for the Donetsk and the Luhansk region. They wanted to become part of Russia, too. And they followed suit. Because we had a major issue here. How are we going to resolve all this? Which was or seemed to be ironed out in the 2015 Minsk agreements that were signed on to by Germany and France and the United States and Ukraine. That they were going to resolve the issue. Basically, the Donbass was going to become a semi-autonomous area. There was going to be mutual respect. They were going to stop all the artillery strikes and all that. We'll get the latest. Zelensky takes credit for derailing Minsk agreements. The Ukrainian president claimed he personally refused to implement the deal for peace in Donbass. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky personally refused to implement the 2015 Minsk agreements, a roadmap for peace in the east of the country, which was co-sponsored by Germany and France. He made the admission during an interview with Der Spiegel, published Thursday, as he continued his tour across Europe. Zelensky said he viewed the agreements as a concession on Ukraine's part and never once actually sought to implement them. Instead, they were merely used to exchange prisoners with the two breakaway Donbass republics. The president claimed he openly told that to then-German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President Emmanuel Macron, and Russian President Vladimir Putin back in 2019, with all of them acting surprised. But as for Minsk as a whole, I told Emmanuel Macron and Angela Merkel, we cannot implement it like this, Zelensky stated. I told Putin the same as the other two. They were surprised and said, if we had known beforehand that you would change the meaning of our meeting, then there would have been problems even before the summit. The Minsk agreements, originally brokered in 2014 and further expanded in 2015, envisioned a roadmap for reconciliation between Ukraine and the Donbass republics of Donetsk and Lugansk. The two regions rebelled against the country's new authorities in the aftermath of the 2014 maiden coup in Kiev, which ousted democratically elected President Viktor Yanukovych. Ukraine's failure to implement the agreement, which would have seen the breakaway territories reintegrated with the country but retain a special status, ultimately led to the ongoing conflict. Since the outbreak of hostilities in Ukraine, multiple politicians have taken credit for the failure of the Minsk agreements, admitting they were merely a ruse to give Ukraine time to build up its military. Former Ukrainian President Pyotr Poroshenko, who was a stooge who replaced Yanukovych, was the first to admit last year that Kiev never intended to abide by them and use a deal to create powerful armed forces. Merkel and another original signatory of the Minsk agreements, former French President François Hollande, have also since confirmed this was actually the true goal of the deal. True goal of the deal. So they were lying to Russia. They were lying to Putin. They were lying about a treaty, an agreement, the more serious and solemn type at the highest level involving relation between nations. Grossly disrespectful, completely corrupt. And Russia is supposed to have faith or confidence in the West? Moscow considers these admissions to be evidence the negotiations were conducted in bad faith, as obviously they were. And that the Ukrainian government and its backers had always intended for the Minsk agreements to flop and for the Donbass crisis to be resolved by force. Russia claims that its military campaign in Ukraine, launched last February, preempted an offensive planned by Kiev with NATO's help. Get this, absolutely crucial. Kiev, with NATO's help, was planning to retake the Donbass militarily, and believe me, they would have slaughtered every Russian-speaking occupant they could find. That's how they do it. The Azov Battalion is not just neo-Nazi, it's Nazi. These guys are in there slaughtering anyone, or an armband sympathetic, who took food. The Russians came in there and gave them food because they were starving. They shot them dead on the spot. If they had the food or the wrong non-band, they were just shot dead on the spot. And then they claimed the Russians did it. It grieves me to think how effortlessly the American people are played. This is just grotesque. Russia claims that its military campaign in Ukraine launched last February. It was announced on 24 February, and Putin gave an elaborate speech, very detailed, about why it was necessary to undertake, preempted an offensive planned by Kiev with NATO's help. Ukraine, Germany, and France lied to the people of Donbass as he had a terrible fate planned for them, which Russia prevented. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said back in January, that's of this year, Germany, France, and Ukraine were playing a swindle game with a Minsk agreement. Now is payback time. Just think about it. If there is no morality, then might makes right. If there are no laws to be adhered to, no agreements between nations, no mutual respect, then might makes right. Meaning if you're powerful enough to impose your will, then you have the right to do it. This is the abdication of morality. This is a de facto endorsement of murder, robbery, kidnapping, rape, because if you're strong enough to impose your will on others, then you're entitled to do it. If there is no morality, that's why I say, well, what's wrong, right? We know those acts are wrong. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong with murder? What's wrong with kidnapping? What's wrong with robbery? What's wrong with rape? And what's wrong with violating solemn treaties between nations? We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. Give SendGo.com funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So I would wager you've never even thought about why murder, robbery, kidnapping, rape are wrong. I mean, you know they're wrong. Virtually, to my knowledge, every human society has regarded actions like those to be wrong. And they've characteristically formalized or codified laws that specify punishments that will be inflicted if you perform those actions in order to enhance their status as forms of behavior that society deems to be wrong and punishable by law. Now, sometimes you can have actions that are not morally wrong, but are nevertheless legal. Or actions that are legal, that are immoral, but nevertheless legal. Here are two examples that cut both ways, because they've sometimes been legal and sometimes not, but their moral status did not change. The more serious is slavery. Nothing is more immoral than slavery, because you're treating another person merely as a means to benefit the slave owners, the slave masters. It's wrong. It's morally wrong, but it was legal during much of the United States. Now, the woke part of the community wants to punish anyone who had anything to do with slavery, even if they were extremely humane and basically provided livelihoods for those who were technically owned as slave owners. And that even includes the greatest political figures in our history. Thomas Jefferson. Than whom, in my opinion, there is no greater political figure in the history of the United States, had slaves. He treated them extremely well, but he did own them. It was a practice of the time. And there are those now in the woke community who want to go about and take away Jefferson, take his name down, discredit him because he was a slave owner. Well, that was an accepted practice of the time. And frankly, we all commit our own transgressions, but few of us make accomplishments of the order of magnitude of a Thomas Jefferson or a George Washington or a Benjamin Franklin or an Abraham Lincoln or an FDR or a JFK, or even, I would add, a Donald Trump. Every one of them was flawed. But every one of us is flawed. And they, unlike us, did great things for America. That's why we honor them. Look at this inversion by the woke community. They want to dishonor them because they did things that were wrong. Well, then, by the same token, dishonor every one of us, because we've all done things that are wrong. Every one of us. We honor them because they did things that were profoundly right. Authoring the Declaration of Independence, contributing to the Constitution, founding the University of Virginia, for example, were among Jefferson's accomplishments. During his time in office, at one point, JFK had an assemblage of Nobel Prize winners. And he observed, and I'm told they didn't take it well, he observed, "This is the greatest collection of intellect and talent ever assembled in one place, together in the White House, save when Thomas Jefferson dined alone." Meaning, of course, because everyone else was inferior to Jefferson, they would diminish. Save when Thomas Jefferson dined alone. I think JFK got it pretty close to the mark. And we know damn well when he said that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. He knew whereof he spoke. The Democrats don't understand that their zeal for power and control by stealing election, by using fake figures as political authorities, by manipulating outcomes in elections again and again, even when the public overwhelmingly believes the country is headed in the wrong direction, even when the public overwhelmingly knows who wants to continue in office, that they would sabotage it all using electronic voting machines and fabricated voter rolls and mail-in balloting. I can't begin to address the profound immorality, the corruption of the Democrat Party today. I mean, in my lifetime, and I graduated from college in 1962. JFK was president of the United States. I was anchored out on the LPHE with Jima in Kaohsiung Harbor, Formosa, when Jack was whacked. And the officer of the DAC, who is the executive officer of the mortar battery, of which I was the fire direction officer, awakened me at 3:30 in the morning to tell me the president shot, and then awakened me an hour later to tell me the guy who did it, he was a communist. I thought then that was pretty fast work. Little did I know that much of my life, decades later, would be consumed with doing research on what happened to JFK, and exposing the lies, the manipulation, the shenanigans involved here in taking him out. I had an extremely interesting dinner and conversation with James Files and his wife here in Madison, where James and his wife, they have published several books about his having been the second shooter on the grassy knoll. When the House Select Committee reinvestigated the case in 1977-78, they came up with a conclusion based upon audio tape that there had been a second shooter on the grassy knoll. Well, James, in my opinion, and I like this guy tremendously, very serious guy, was cast in the role of being that second shooter. Now, I don't, in fact, believe he was the second shooter. In fact, there were a third shooter, a fourth shooter, a fifth shooter, a sixth shooter, a seventh shooter, and an eighth shooter, none of whom were named Lee Oswald. He was in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by. So by what right of the Constitution, the law, or morality did the Democrats, led by Lyndon Johnson, have to take him out because they didn't like his policies? He was threatening to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He was pulling our forces out of Vietnam. He was going to cut the oil depletion allowance. He was cracking down on the mob. He was circumventing the Fed. He was opposing Israel's desire to develop nuclear weapons. Those were the sponsors of the assassination, including Lyndon himself, of course, who is the mastermind. Each of them put up their own shooter. Each of them put up one of those eight shooters. And then Lyndon, through his own personal hitman, who'd murdered a dozen people for him, including one of his own sisters. That's the kind of caliber of man as Lyndon Baines Johnson. He forced himself on the ticket in 1960 in order for this to come about. Quick take, though many of you will have heard me explain this before. When JFK won the nomination, he invited Stuart Symington, a senator from Missouri, to be his running mate, but he gave him overnight to think about it. Bobby went by the Johnson suite to extend a pro forma symbolic gesture invitation to run with Jack, never having the least inkling Lyndon would have any interest whatsoever, was dumbfounded when Johnson jumped on it, threatened to expose that JFK had Addison's disease and wasn't expected to live long, healthy lives, that among his dalliances had been one with a beautiful woman who was a spy for East Germany, information provided by Edgar, who despised the Kennedys as much as LBJ, adding that if he were not on the ticket, then any legislative proposal sent down by the White House would be dead on arrival, because as his position as a powerful majority leader, he would block them. Bobby was shaken. He and Jack tried to figure a way out. And for the only time in his political career, JFK had to rescind a decision he'd made by reversing the invitation to Symington and instead extending it to LBJ. When one of Lyndon's wealthy backers heard of the plan, he was furious. He burst into the Johnson suite, cursing and swearing. Bobby Baker took him into a bedroom and explained what they had in mind. He came out all smiles, saying he thought that was an excellent plan. Bobby Baker would later declare that Jack would not live out his first term and that he would die a violent death. In the course of events, Lyndon Johnson would send his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. Henry Gonzalez, a congressman from Texas, thought it was a really bad idea. But Jack reassured him and said, oh no, Henry, I've checked with the Secret Service and everything is all set. What he didn't appreciate was that the Secret Service was in on it. They set him up for the hit. And then they participated in the cover-up. I've laid this out many places. This is grotesque, illegal, unconstitutional, manipulative. The Democrat Party, alas, has a tradition here, sad to say, one of which I was blissfully unaware. My whole life I had voted Democrat. I always regard myself as a Democrat in the tradition of JFK and FDR, because I believe in the social safety network of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, workman's compensation, unemployment insurance, which actually benefit the American people. As I speak to you today, I would not be financially solvent were it not for Social Security. But when Donald Trump came down that elevator at Trump Tower with Melania, it was a breath of fresh air. Here you had a guy basically unimpeded by prior political involvement. I mean, he knew lots of people. Lots of people knew him. He was a famous guy already, a successful businessman, fabulous builder and developer, and frankly, let me add, didn't have a racist bone in his body. You can't be in construction and have racial priorities. My God, neither do I. Black, white, green, yellow, turquoise, I don't care what color your skin is. Who should give a damn? But the Democrats have now inverted that. And if you're white, you're the enemy. If you're white, the enemy. The Democrat Party today has got an anti-white racist rampage that is clearly in violation of all our laws against discrimination. You cannot discriminate in business dealings and other activities on the basis of race, color, religion, not just whether you're black, but if you're white. And I cannot believe the morons out there in Washington, D.C., who seem to think this is just hunky-dory. And this, of course, is among the reasons they have opened the spigot to a flood of migrants coming up. And did you hear the Border Patrol agents are saying they explain why they're here? They all have basically the same story. They're here because Joe Biden invited them here. We're getting millions across the border. We have a population of roughly 330 million, of whom 30 million are already illegals. They're bringing in millions more, the equivalent of three states' population every few months. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning what's going on, and it's continuing unabated. Let me emphasize, the goal is to bring in 100 million migrants. And you'll notice, if you're paying attention, they're not even required to pass any health protocols. They're not being reviewed for attacks, for tuberculosis or hepatitis or sexually transmitted diseases or COVID. They're not required to take the vax. No. That's reserved for Americans have to take the vax, not these migrants. Why? Well, because among the other adverse effects of taking the vax is it makes you sterile or infertile a high percentage of the time if it doesn't kill you outright. So life expectancy in the United States has been dropping ever since the vax was introduced. Childbirth dropping. Fewer live births. The white population is going to be below replacement level, meaning you cannot sustain a white population at the same level year after year. It's dropping. It's diminishing. It's falling. The migrant population is going to be exactly the opposite. They're going to multiply and multiply and multiply. And Joe Biden, I mean, it's a complete fraud, and that's for the reason that no actual rational human being, even had it been the real Joe Biden who was born in Scranton, would be willing to assume responsibility for destroying the United States. So they got a guy in there who's an actor. He's just reading lines. Sometimes he seems more convincing than other times, but just take a look at what I published ever so recently. The huge difference is it is not the same guy. Go to my blog, jameshfencer.org. Go to my blog. I think it's now the second most recent blog I posted. Go to my Twitter. I put it on Twitter, at Jim Fencer. You got to understand what the hell you're up against. You see, we act on our beliefs, and if our beliefs are not founded, then we don't know the situation we're in or what action need to be taken to straighten things out if we have that capacity. And because they have rigged the voting machine, because they padded the voter rolls, we're all but helpless. Before 2020, the sentiment was overwhelmingly in favor of Donald Trump staying as president. Overwhelming. Some polls, by Rasmussen, for example, which I regard as the most reliable, were showing that 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Donald Trump. 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Donald Trump. Think about it. 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Donald Trump. Why? Because unlike past Democrat presidents, Donald Trump was actually making a difference in their lives. He created a robust economy. He shut down the southern border. The lowest wage earning workers were finding their wages rise at the highest rate. He made us energy independent. Trump was treating the American people with respect. Biden is treating the American people with contempt. He is destroying America. And for this guy to come up and give a State of the Union address that papers it all over and pretends that things are hunky-dory, when we're falling apart at the seams, when we even have a Chinese spy satellite, now they're admitting, oh, yeah, actually it was a spy satellite. Yeah, actually it was intercepting our communications. Oh, yeah. And that the U.S. military pathetically didn't even bother to shoot it down when they knew it was coming over the Aleutians or over Alaska. They asked to shoot it down. And Biden said no. Alaska wanted to shoot down. Biden said no. What's this say about our military? America is completely surveyed by radar. There are barely any nooks or crannies that aren't covered 24/7, especially in Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, out of fear of a missile attack coming from Russia. They got spy satellites, I'll tell you. You may not believe me. I've been under surveillance to the extent they can tell me whether the bagel I just took out of the toaster oven was or was not browned sufficiently. My wife doesn't even know I had a bagel and I'm talking with her and getting feedback that bagel wasn't really browned. I wouldn't believe this if I were living through it. We have all kinds of surveillance capabilities, but what are we doing? We're spying on Jim Fetzer toasting a bagel, and we're allowing a Chinese spy balloon to transit across the United States. Think about it. Standard operating procedure, all effed up. The United States, however, is going down in a way never before confronted such a threat. And it's because the enemy's within. And it's got to do with the Democrat Party wanting to continue to exercise its control. The Democrat Party has no respect for democracy. Democrat Party doesn't care about the American people. The Democrat Party is participating in the evisceration of the United States.
Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I never really got to the point of my conversation, my dinner with James Files and his wife. Because what Files said to me twice, and I took it as really the most important point I learned from him, was that once a government stakes out a position, it never changes. It's locked in. So once a government staked out the position about three shots fired from a lone assassin, it was locked in. Now, the fact that we've established beyond any doubt, and the Warren Commission was aware of it at the time, the Warren Commission staff, that Lee Oswald was in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by, means he not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, but cannot have been one of the, as you now know, eight different assassins. He wasn't even a shooter, much less the lone gunman. And this is just a particularly stunning illustration of how the government lies to us again and again and again. Now, lying to people is manipulative. Lying to people is immoral. Lying to people is not treating them with respect. We sometimes hear the exception of what are called white lies. If you were to save someone great pain by withholding evidence from them that they would not subsequently acquire, that might be justifiable. But the fact of the matter is, if you're doing it for self-serving purposes to benefit yourself, your own objectives, totally unacceptable, totally wrong. You got the American government turning out to be the greatest lying machine on earth. Remember, POGO, we have met the enemy and it is us. Americans have to have the capacity to look at world events from another country's point of view. So here we have more. Zelensky tells Macron and Schultz to supply game-changing weapons. This is by Dave DeCamp reporting for antiwar.com. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met with French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Paris Wednesday, 2 days ago, where he made a fresh pitch for fighter jets and other advanced weapons. France and Germany have the potential to be game changers, and that's how I see our talks today. The sooner we get heavy, long-range weapons and our pilots get modern planes, the quicker this Russian aggression will end, Zelensky said in Paris. Well, the Russian aggression wasn't really. It was a defensive action to protect the Donbass from the ongoing artillery barrages that Kiev had been launching since the coup in 2014, killing thousands of residents of Ukraine just because they liked Russia. I mean, this is unbelievably bad. And then they were planning a major assault. They would have slaughtered Russia-friendly residents of the Donbass by the hundreds of thousands. I have no doubt about it. Hundreds of thousands. So Putin acted to intervene. He preempted the invasion of the Donbass that Kiev was about to launch, and he had other good reasons, too. The West has paid no attention whatsoever to the legitimate national security concerns of Russia. No concern whatsoever. And in addition, there had to have been, 40-plus biolabs engaged in the development of biological weapons? I mean, this is grotesque. And they were doing ones. They wanted Russian DNA so they'd make biological weapons that were specific to Russian DNA. My God. Just think about it. And the U.S. was funding labs like this in Ukraine. The United States was funding labs like this in Ukraine. Put a smiling face on that. They liked Tony the Rat, Anthony Fauci, because he comes across as kind of a grandfatherly figure. And you think, oh, this is a decent guy. This guy wouldn't lie to us. Hell, that was his job. His job was promoting big lies, but with a smiling face, with a kindly demeanor, to induce Americans to commit suicide by taking a vax, the ingredients of which they wouldn't even allow you to know, where they tested them before and they knew they had a high fatality rate. This was all done deliberately. Grotesque. And we're only now figuring out what the hell's going on. I've been reporting on this nonstop since like March of 2000. My God! I've probably done 500 reports about the vax, where the pandemic was fake. There was no increase in deaths in any age group because of the pandemic. It was basically numbers generated by reclassifying cases of the flu as coronavirus. So we have 38 million cases of flu in 2019, but in 2020 there are only 2,000. Well, you think the flu just disappeared? No. They took the 38,000 minus 2,000. 37,998,000 cases of the flu and simply said, this is coronavirus. They gave it a new name. John Rappaport and Edward Henry have been excellent at exposing the sham. And they use a test that wasn't designed to be diagnostic. The CPR, the PRC, It's designed to multiply a sample so you have more of the sample to test. But you can rig it to give you any outcome you want. It's known at higher frequencies that it's completely unreliable and will yield false positives. So they remember Hillary came out and said, test. You think she was doing that out of the goodness of her heart? The more tests generate more false positives, create more alarm in the public, more fear, driving them to take an emergency use only authorized medication that should never have been on the market in the first place because there were bona fide treatments that were reliable, safe, no side effects. Ivermectin and HCQ, I've taken them both. No side effects. They cure what ails you. But no. They had to have a justification for the mRNA vaccine because they had a very different agenda to bring about as many deaths as possible in the shortest possible time. That was what it was all about, and it's ongoing to this day. Stunning. People, pull your head out from where the sun doesn't shine and think about it. The statistics are overwhelming. A whole lot, over 1,500 athletes in the prime of their life have dropped dead. Thousands, tens of thousands more I survives have been seriously debilitated and affected. J.J. Watt, as ferocious a player as the NFL has ever seen, unwisely took the vax and has now been forced into retirement because of the damage it's done to his heart. And then lo and behold, we have a Buffalo Bills game and a player drops dead right in front of our eyes. Now, if that Darren Hamlin had merely been injured, do you think they would have canceled the game? Have you ever heard of an NFL football game being canceled because a player was injured? Have you ever? That game wasn't canceled because he was injured. That game was canceled because he was dead. He was dead. He flopped over dead. It's happening all over the world. Stu Peters put together a brilliant Died Suddenly video. You got to see it. Died Suddenly video. Wonderful. People just dropping dead. I mean, just dropping dead. And they don't want to admit the cause, which is obvious, the vax. The people who are dropping dead are people who have had the vax. People who have not had the vax are not dropping dead, are not dying suddenly. So they invent a new name for it. Adult sudden death syndrome. That means we're not willing to admit what causes death. We're going to pretend it's unrelated to any known causal factor. When everyone knows it's a damn vax. Everyone knows. They've gone so far with this Darren Hamlin that they had a photograph of a guy in a bed where a doctor observed that he was wearing civilian clothes, which isn't permissible. And his arms up in a way that he had tattoos on both arms, but the real Darren did not have tattoos on his right arm. He did on his left. That apparently wasn't sufficiently persuasive, so he went ahead and made a deep fake. They had a guy in a hoodie, dark glasses, who's 2 inches shorter, 15 pounds lighter than Darren Hamlin, come in and play the role of Darren Hamlin. He was unaccompanied by family, went up into a box. You saw him urging the crowd, to roar in support. But it was totally fake. I mean, my God. A third grader wouldn't have been convinced by that. So what have they done now? They've using all their computer skills to create a video that's supposed to be Darren Hamlin, but it's only CGI-generated images, or even a hologram. People don't understand the sophistication of holographic technology. It is phenomenal. And you don't have to buy into my hypothesis that the planes in New York on 9/11 were actually holographic projections. You don't need to buy into that unless you want to explain why they were traveling at a speed too great for a Boeing 767, which would have come apart in the air, as pilots for 9/11 Truth explained in their video documentary, 9/11 Intercepted. That performed the impossible physics feat of passing its whole length into the building in the same number of frames that pass it its whole length in air, which makes no sense unless a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air. And if you look at the damage that a little bird weighing a few ounces does to a commercial carrier, you're going to begin to appreciate it. We should have crumpled external to the building, body, seats, luggage, wing tail falling to the ground, which did not happen. It just effortlessly progressed into the building. Then you had the nose-out phenomenon. Its nose came out on the other side. And all of a sudden, the TV and this projection of this broadcast of the most astonishing terrorist event in American history faded to black. Why? Well, there would have been a hand-eye coordination program, and they couldn't shut off the holographic projection fast enough. It's not even remotely physically possible for the nose of a commercial carrier, which is the most fragile part of the plane loaded with electronics, to pass through a building and come out intact. But we're supposed to believe that? Okay, if you got a better theory than holographic projection, I'd love to hear it. Because by a process of elimination, that's the only explanation that holds up. And part of the way they do these things in complicated ways is because they want to make the truth sound stranger than fiction. For example, the Jack was shot in the throat by a bullet that passed through the windshield that was fired from inside the triple underpass. There's a well-known student at JFK who wants to insist that there was no bullet hole, there was no shot to the throat. I mean, why? Because he thinks that's not how they would have done it. Well, this guy suffers from the debilitating effect, if you're a serious student, of not being willing to study the research that's gone before. We even got the guy at Ford who was responsible for replacing the windshield who confirmed that there was a through-and-through bullet hole and that it had beveling on the inside that had been fired from in front through the windshield. tit jack in the throat. And what this guy doesn't appreciate is they were so confident of being able to secure all the phones and all the videos and all the films around Dealey Plaza that they were going to have control of the body. They were going to steal it from Dallas. They were going to take it to Bethesda. They were going to conduct a pseudo autopsy. They were going to make it all come out the right way. They were going to change the x-rays. They even had a body double they could use for photographs. All of this happened. But the government, the American government, won't even acknowledge that he was in the doorway and therefore cannot have been the lone gunman. I mean, this is as blatant a refutation of the integrity of the American government as you could possibly have. Likewise, half a dozen or more of the 19 Islamic terrorists who were supposed to hijack those four commercial carriers turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media, which David Ray Griffin makes a very first point in his magisterial, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. That's what they do. They omit and they distort. I'm convinced, by the way, that Philip Zelikow, who became the executive director of the 9/11 Commission, was a brilliant choice because he wrote the script. Philip Zelikow, before he entered government, had his area of specialization in the academy as a professor. The creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. You know, like fairy stories, David and Goliath, Adam and Eve. The creation and maintenance of public myths. That's what they gave us on 9/11, a myth. There's no correspondence, virtually none, between the account we're given by the 9/11 Commission of what actually happened. It was not even physically possible for a twin tower to collapse. It wasn't even physically possible. And when I witnessed that on television that morning, I said to myself, this is not even physically possible, but when would I ever be in a position to do anything about it? Well, by fate of circumstance, I wound up in being in a position to do something about it. And I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December 2005. I've been flown all over the world to Athens, Greece, Buenos Aires, Argentina, twice to lecture on 9/11 in Athens in December of 2006. And a show hosted by Greece's leading muckraking journalist who's exposed corruption in governments that led to their fall. They had a panel of 12 for this 9/11 special. They had wonderful video clips set up. I was told walking into the studio that usually only two or three asked. I said, not tonight. And by God, all 12 of them asked. It was planned for 3 hours. It was sensational, broadcast worldwide by satellite. In fact, they liked it so much, they extended it for an extra half an hour. I was flown down to Buenos Aires in 2008 to give a series of lectures on JFK and 9/11. And would you believe, the Argentine newspapers published photographs and stories about my presentations. You think that would happen here in the United States? Not a chance. And then I was brought back the following year to be the keynote speaker at an international symposium on 9/11 Truth and Justice held, guess where? At the National Library of the Republic of Argentina. Earlier in June, Alex Jones had had his American Scholars Conference, no doubt inspired by my having founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And Alex invited me to be the keynote speaker on 9/11. Backstage, he introduced me to Charlie Sheen. Only time Alex and I ever had any interaction. Big hit. The following day, C-SPAN required the panel discussion where all four of the members of the panel were members of scholars. Steve Jones, whom I invited to be my co-chair, he was a physicist from BYU. Bob Bowman, who'd been in a Korean War ace, shot down 101 MiGs, would you believe it, but was there because he was had a PhD in nuclear engineering from Caltech and had been the science advisor to Reagan and Ford on the Star Wars project. Webster Tarpley authored, published a brilliant book, 9/11, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. And me, Jim Fetzer, founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, where I gave a top 10 reason we know the hijackers are fake. You can find that online, C-SPAN, hour and 45 minutes. They would actually broadcast it 7 or 8 times. Worth your while. You can probably also find my keynote address. I've actually never tracked it down, but I expect you can find that too. American Scholars Conference. What for a certainty you can find is that just before the event took place, I was invited to come on Hannity and Combs. And it turned out Sean was unavailable that evening, and they had Ollie North standing in. And the producer said to me they wanted to talk about the findings of scholars and whether I taught a course on it. And I explained, no, I didn't actually have a course on it, but it was something I did intermittently discuss. So when I was in the waiting room, the green room, I asked them to bring in a TV so I could see how it was being announced. And then you had Combs announced, you won't believe what your students are being taught by their professors. And I knew immediately how they were going to cast this, but that they did not know enough to get it right. So when Combs introduced and says, ask me, I said, professor, is this an elective course or required? I said, no. I said, there must be some misunderstanding. You have your facts foxed. I said, I founded a research organization, but I don't have a course. He said, you're not teaching a course? I said, no. Do you know of anyone who teaches such a course? No, I said, I don't know of anyone who teaches a course on 9/11, but it's a great idea because there's so much material to work with. And later, well, I think actually it was Combs himself, but it may have been Ollie who was dumbfounded. Because he'd asked, didn't I tell a producer that I had a course I taught on 9/11? And I explained, no, I did not. I explained to him that I have courses on critical thinking where I intermittently would discuss examples like our invasion of Iraq or 9/11 or JFK. But I did not have such a course.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh,
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I just got a email over the break from a dear friend and research colleague. Satellites have limitations. This balloon carried sensors that cannot be duplicated on satellites. It has the potential of releasing tens of thousands of suicide drones. It has the potential to be carrying a small nuclear device that the average person could build in their backyard. Set it off, which generates a nuclear electromagnetic pulse, which permanently kills 99% of our current electronics. It was monitoring every communication over thousands of square miles. The balloon could easily have released diseases to our food crops. The balloon watched and recorded every single action by our incompetent government. And I wrote back, 100% correct. It could also have been altering the chips in our ICBMs to neutralize them, where they were made in China with backdoors for China access, leaving the U.S. with no nuclear deterrent. And our government just let this balloon fly over the United States? This is beyond incompetence. This is a staggering threat to the very existence of the United States. This is, many would say, the primary obligation of the American government, to wit, to protect the American people and the national security of the United States through the exercise of their constitutional obligations. Remember, the president is not only the chief executive officer of the United States, he's also the commander-in-chief of the American military. But the Democrats there care so much about the safety of the American people, they're willing to install complete nitwits and morons into the American government so it can open a floodgate to millions of migrants, so they can allow spy balloon to transit the United States, so they can send all of our munitions to the most corrupt country in Europe. Indeed, I would say on the face of planet Earth. So they can impoverish us all. I'm telling you, the situation could hardly be worse, and I'm reminded of the... I was told, cheer up. Things could be worse, and I cheered up, and yes, things got worse. Absolutely. With this administration, things are going to get worse. And as long as they have electronic voting machines to protect them, as long as they have inflated voter registration rolls they can use to manipulate the outcomes, as long as courts are unwilling to abide the statutes and laws that govern the states with regard to their own elections, we have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to go. The Democrats aren't going to clean up their act. The present plan, as I see it, is to promote Gruesome Newsom from California, who has majorly mucked up California, to unleash him on the United States, to further muck up the United States, running with Michelle Obama, who's been voted the most popular woman in America again and again and again, except Michelle Obama isn't even a woman. Michelle Obama is a package most women do not have. This may be part of what drives the whole absurdity about Democrats being unable or unwilling to define what is a woman. The person they think is their most viable political candidate, Michelle Obama, is actually a man. A weird one, admittedly. A man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I document all of this. I would not make up a story like this if my life depended on it. I'm hooked on truth. I just want to know what the hell is going on. I'm not going to live a life of illusion. Stunning. So here's one of the latest. U.S. says Chinese military behind vast aerial spy program that has targeted 40 countries with high-altitude balloons. Washington. China's balloon that crossed the United States was equipped to collect intelligence signals. It was part of a huge military-linked aerial spy program that targeted more than 40 countries. The Biden admin said Thursday, that would be yesterday, outlining the scope and capabilities of a huge balloon that captivated the country's attention before being shot down. The fleet of balloons operates under the direction of the People's Liberation Army and is used specifically for spying, outfitted with high-tech equipment designed to collect sensitive information from targets across the globe, the U.S. said. Similar balloons have floated over five continents. A statement from a senior State Department official offered the most detailed to date, linking China's military to the balloon that traversed the United States before being shot down last Saturday over the Atlantic Ocean. The public details are meant to refute China's persistent denials that the balloon was used for spying, including a claim Thursday that U.S. accusation about the balloon amount to information warfare against Beijing. In Beijing, before the U.S. offered new information, Chinese foreign ministry person Mao Ning repeated her nation's insistence that the large unmanned balloon was a civilian meteorological airship that had blown off course, and that the U.S. had overreacted by shooting it down. It is irresponsible, Mao said. Well, his accusation may be part of the U.S. side's information warfare against China. China's defense minister refused to take a phone call from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to discuss the balloon issue on Saturday, the Pentagon said. China has not answered questions as to what government department or company the balloon belonged to or how it planned to follow up on a pledge to take further action over the matter. The U.S. offered a flatly contradictory characterization of the balloon and its purpose. It said imagery of the balloon collected by American U-2 spy planes as it crossed the country showed it was capable of conducting signals intelligence collection with multiple antennae and other equipment designed to upload sensitive information and solar panels to power them. The official said an analysis of the balloon debris was inconsistent with China's explanation that it was a weather balloon that went off course. The U.S. is reaching out to countries that have been targeted, the official said, to discuss the scope of the Chinese surveillance program and is looking into potential action that supported the balloon's incursion into U.S. airspace. Question being, why the hell did we shoot it down? The official provided details to reporters by email on condition of anonymity due to the sensitive nature of the matter, which had already forced the cancellation of a planned visit to China earlier this week by Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The official said the U.S. has confidence that the manufacturer of the balloon shot down on Saturday has a direct relationship with China's military and is an approved vendor of the Army. The official cited information from an official PLA procurement portal as evidence for the connection between the company and the military. This is not the first time the U.S. government has publicly called out alleged activities of the People's Liberation Army. In a first-of-its-kind prosecution in 2014, the Obama administration Justice Department indicted five accused PLA hackers of breaking into the computer networks of major American corporations in an effort to steal trade secrets. Alleged hackers with the PLA were also charged in 2020 with stealing the personal data of tens of millions of Americans in a breach of the credit reporting agency Equifax. Wow. And get this, I mean, if you think the Democrats are going to give up, not a chance. Wall Street Journal. The DNC attempts to rig the primaries for Biden by moving the South Carolina primary first in line, even though a state law requires New Hampshire to have the first primary. Pretty stunning. Wall Street Journal opinion. DNC rigging the primaries for president. Putting South Carolina first is an effort to deter Biden's potential challengers. Imagine if the Republican Party rigged its presidential nominating calendar to help Donald Trump slide past states where he's politically weak. Would that go down easily with the GOP or the press corps? That's essentially what Democrats are doing to help President Joe Biden. Too little protest or even much media notice. The Democratic National Committee recently voted to revise the party's nominating calendar to put South Carolina first in line, upending a half century of tradition. The Iowa caucuses, which have been first since 1972, will be relegated to the back of the bus. After South Carolina primary on February 3rd, 2024, the new order will be New Hampshire and Nevada, both on Feb 6, followed by Georgia on Feb 13 and Michigan on Feb 22nd. All of this had been done at the request, please don't say orders, of the Biden White House. South Carolina rescued Biden's candidacy in 2020. From defeat by Bernie Sanders and black voters in that state and Georgia, make up a large part of the Democrat electorate in Biden's core support. Michigan's primary was held on March 10th in 2020 and is another state where he won. Biden finished fourth in Iowa, fifth in New Hampshire. A retail campaign, restaurants, and school auditoriums counts for as much as TV advertising. The last thing the White House wants is Biden at age 81, unscripted on the stump. This insider political play isn't going down well in the Granite State, which has a law saying that it must be the first primary. The state Democrats aren't happy. And perhaps GOP Governor Chris Sununu and the legislature will respond by moving the primary ahead of February 3rd. So maybe the DNC will then kill its primary. The political parties set their own nominating rules subject to state law. The main benefit of the early New Hampshire and Iowa contests is that they give voters a chance at close-up vetting, and they give long-shot candidates a chance to elevate an issue or emerge from obscurity. The winners don't always go on to be nominated, much less take the White House, but they are a different kind of candidate test than debates and TV advertising. The risk for Democrats is that by greasing the wheel for Biden, they will miss such a signal for the electorate. The polls are showing that even most Democrats prefer another nominee in 2024. But the president is plowing ahead, perhaps because he thinks Republicans will be foolish enough to nominate Trump, who would be the easiest opponent to beat. But what if they don't? Donald Trump, the easiest candidate to beat? That is ludicrous. Donald Trump continues has a grip on the American electorate unlike that of any candidate I've ever seen, greater than that of JFK. Remember, he relatively barely beat Nixon. On the other hand, the American people grew to adore, even love, Jack and Jackie. He would have been a stupendous candidate in 1964 on the back of the assassination of Lyndon Johnson. Won a landslide election. And of course, then he didn't want Hubert Humphrey to succeed him because Hubert might have looked into the assassination. So he held off supporting Hubert in the last couple of weeks when elections were already decided and made a negligible contribution, allowing Richard Nixon to come in where Nixon had been in Dallas at the ratification meeting for the assassination at the home of Clint Murchison, Sr., the night before. So Nixon knew what was going down. He actually flew out of Love Field just hours before JFK flew in. And then, of course, we went with Gerald Ford, who had been Edgar's man on the commission, notifying him what direction they were heading so Edgar, who was responsible for the investigation, could manage to cope with fabricating or other evidence to make it all come out the way they wanted. Stunning, stunning, stunning stuff. So you had a succession of presidents who weren't going to reopen the investigation. In fact, I have no doubt. Primary reason Bobby was taken out was because he declared he was going to reopen the investigation into his brother's death. Lyndon undoubtedly had a hand in that as well. Remember how he played the Kennedy boys following the nomination. He'd force them to put him on the ticket so he could accede to the presidency and guarantee that no one involved in the assassination of his predecessor would ever be brought to justice, ever be punished for their involvement. He, as president, was in a position to do that. And he preempted the multiple inquiries that are taking place in the House and Senate in Dallas, which were actually beginning to make headway by appointing the Warren Commission and designating the FBI as the sole investigative agency. If you see how badly the FBI perverts its role in American society today, just think of an FBI headed by Edgar, who was collaborating with LBJ and taking out JFK and covering it up. The FBI has a long and distinguished tradition. So what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are your options? I reiterate, until we get rid of electronic voting machines, we don't have a prayer. We don't have a prayer. The country could be 100% against a Democrat candidate and he'd still win an electoral victory. Because remember, as the motto of Dominion, voting machines declares, changing the way you vote. You can count on that. If you vote a Republican, they're going to change it to Democrat. I mean, that's what it's all about. How dumb are we supposed to be? How stupid? Get rid of electronic voting machines first and foremost. They must be illegal. We must go back to paper ballots and hand counts. Can we do it before the Democrats steal another election in 2024? Biden wants to do it because it's a roller coaster. It's nothing. They've already got the election rigged. As long as you have Dominion voting machines in place, any viable alternative is dead in its tracks. Donald Trump, I predict, is going to run with Tulsi. He's going to have a huge support from the American people. But just as in the case of the midterm election, they're going to steal it. They are going to steal it. James Carville implied that they'd stolen 57 House seats, and I guarantee you, 3 or 4 Senate seats. Fetterman, by the way, was, like a zombie. Has now been hospitalized. I don't expect he's going to live long. He was totally unviable. I mean, he if it weren't for stealing the election, Fetterman would never have won. And Kerry Lake would never have lost. And you got a complete nitwit. This woman, Katie Hobbs in Arizona, is about the same level of intellect as Kamala Harris, who is a complete moron. When it comes to vacuousness, this woman has never had an original thought in her entire life, and neither has Katie Hobbs. They're stooges. So Democrats have a problem. They got to get rid of Biden, but they've also got to get rid of Kamala. They want Newsom and Michelle. And I dare say all this ambiguity about what it is to be a woman, they're trying to pave the way for a man with breast implants to become vice president and then president of the United States. I have no doubt that's a plan. You got to understand, Barack Obama was having an openly homosexual gay affair with Rahm Emanuel in the bathhouses of Chicago. It was widely known at the time. And when he ascended to the White House, he took Rahm along with him as his chief of staff. Michelle Obama was born Michael LaVon Robinson, played football at Oregon State, number 44. Even had a halfway decent record in tackles, but bemoaned that she was a woman trapped inside of a man's body, transferred to Princeton, and adopted a female persona as Michelle. I have photographs of her and Barack. There's a photograph of Brittany Grimes in a car with no shirt. And what's similar between Michael Robinson and Brittany Grimer, they have no mammaries. They have no breasts. They're both men. So what happened? Michelle got breast implants. Michelle got breast implants. I got photographs of the backside of Michelle Obama with Mike Tyson, the greatest heavyweight, maybe the most heavy slugger in boxing history. Michelle Obama has a broader and more muscular back than Mike Tyson. I'm telling you, the Democrats, this reinforces a theme. The Democrats are lying, cheating, controlling. They are thieves. They're stealing your vote. They're stealing your country. They're destroying the nation. And it's going on unabated, and no one is doing a damn thing about it. Trump would. He put an end to it. He's even figured out a way to eviscerate the executive, senior executive service, which is the core of the deep state. Like 50,000 semi-permanent, well, they actually turn out to be permanent employees because they're civil service protection. You can't get rid of them. And yet they're in decision-making positions in the government, and they don't give a damn about the public will or the public interest or public preference or what would be good policy for the United States. Trump has a plan called Schedule F that would enable him to eviscerate the deep state. That needs to happen. DeSantis is going to run. I think DeSantis is terrific. But Trump knows what the hell he's up against. I want him to come clean about the vax. I want him to disavow the vax. I want him to explain that was the greatest mistake and that he was to some degree or other bamboozled into pursuing it. He needs to make amends with the American people. We are very forgiving. If he admits warp speed turns out to have been a very bad idea, if he goes against the vax, discourages people from taking it, explains that he knows now that it's killing massive numbers, that the statistics are undeniable, that's happening before your very eyes, and yet they're telling you nothing to see here, just move on. Don't let yourself be played. Thanks for being here. As we enter the weekend, I want you to spend as much time with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. Because the provocative actions of Ukraine and NATO, my God, Russia may feel it has no choice but to retaliate. And if it retaliates, it will be massive. Spend time with the people you love. You won't regret it.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their